Welcome to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast where seeing things differently inspires limitless possibilities. The Limitless podcast was created in order to inform, educate, entertain, and share stories from within the blind and partially sighted community that show that the opportunities for those who are blind or partially sighted are truly limitless. And now, it is my pleasure to introduce you to your host, the founder of Blind Beginnings, Sean Marcellet.
Welcome back to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. I'm your host, Sean Marcellet, and I am so grateful that you are joining us again. You might notice a little bit of a change. We are moving to every other week releasing episodes, but don't worry, we do have something coming up in the future to fill those gaps. So stay tuned for that, but you can still look for us releasing an episode every other week. So today we're talking about masking your blindness, basically trying to look sighted, trying to kind of hide our visual impairment. And I'm excited to welcome back Acacia and Ishita. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So can you remind our listeners your level of vision? Yeah, let's just start with that.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ishita, and I have a condition called Cone-rod dystrophy. So this is a condition that primarily affects my central field of vision. I can see general shapes and colors pretty well, but I do have issues with seeing finer details.
I have ocular cutaneous albinism, so I have trouble seeing distance, detail, especially when there's bright lights or low contrast. In uncorrected, I have about 10% vision.
Okay. So have either of you heard the term masking in regards to this before, hiding your visual impairment?
I have, yeah. Not necessarily in the blindness sphere, more so in other disabilities, just because I'm a psychology student, so masking with autism and other disorders has been talked about quite a bit. And I figured that that could also be translated to blindness quite as well, just because, you know, we're talking about today, but we do tend to mask our blindness in certain situations and for multiple reasons. So it's not a new concept, but I haven't talked about it much specifically with blindness.
Yeah, I think I've also mostly heard it to do with other disabilities, but I'm sure it applies here too.
Yeah, it was actually a blindness influencer that I came across on social media talking about this. So I was like, oh, I hadn't thought of it. I mean, I definitely did it a lot and still do to some degree, but I didn't know it had a name and wasn't aware. So I'm excited to launch into this. So maybe we can explain, you know, give some examples of masking your visual impairment. I made a huge long list, but why don't you guys share some? What are some of the ways that you mask?
I can think of a few. I would say, especially being partially sighted, it's a little bit easier to just kind of, I would say, go with people's assumptions that I can see, because I think that's the general assumption. If you're not holding cane, if you seem to be walking without assistance or anything, or assistive technology or tools or anything like that, people assume you are sighted. So yeah, generally I can think of some where it's like, you know, walking downstairs. That's a little bit of a tricky thing for me, but I think generally, as long as it's a route that I'm familiar with, what I'll do is like memorize a number of steps. And it's something I've done like unconsciously. I'm not aware that I'm doing it, but it just makes it easier for me to like not fumble or look like I'm, you know, struggling to go somewhere, or kind of like avoid questions of needing help or anything like that. I think sometimes I will go out of my way not to ask for help. Like similarly, sometimes elevators aren't accessible if they don't have Braille on them and if the buttons are tactile. So I try to avoid using elevators and will just go downstairs. Another thing is like in big social gatherings, this just happened to me this past weekend where, not everyone there is aware that I'm blind, and I choose not to take my cane because it's relative, like it's in a venue and it could be a little bit hard to, there's going to be like 100 people. People are going to ask questions, and sometimes you just don't want to deal with that. So what I would usually do is just find, if it's with my family, like my mom, my brother, stick with them, or if it's a friend, stick with them, ask them to remain close to me. Just, you know, ask if they'd be willing to get the food for me, if it's like a serve yourself kind of thing. Stuff like that. Generally, it's like sticking with people I'm more comfortable with, and also just not wanting to bring attention or disclose to so many people that I'm blind.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Acacia?
Yeah, it's funny. I was looking at the list you made, Sean, and I was like, yeah, no, I do just about every single one of these. But I don't know, for me, I found like I was sort of just realizing in the last couple of weeks as it's getting like brighter and sunnier again, at least on the coast and whatever, that like when the weather's gray, especially, I feel like I can like sort of like, I guess like not blend in more, but I appear a lot less blind. And then every summer I get totally comfortable. I'm walking with my cane and I got my sunglasses and my hat and I'm fine. I'm like, you know, this is whatever. But then like, as soon as I get unused to that again, I feel all awkward when I have to start bringing my cane out again. And it almost feels like I'm relearning it every year, which is silly because it shouldn't be a thing that like, you know, feels uncomfortable every time you're like, oh, I have to sort of look blind again. Mm-hmm. But that's sort of something I noticed in myself. I'm like, oh, why are you not confident to do that now? You were totally fine last summer. Like, but yeah, no, I definitely agree with like the social gatherings is a huge one for me. Like, I'll just kind of stick with the person that I know, and like getting food, like it's funny, even at family events, I'll always follow my mom and be like, okay, you need to help me, because I'm always so worried that like I'm gonna think something else, or that like I'm going to use like the wrong cutlery and contaminate something, or just like generally, like, I forget where I was the other day, where there was food, and I was like, okay, friend, don't leave me. I need to follow you. Cause like, I cannot get this myself, which is silly. It would have been fine, but it's just like, that's definitely a thing that I have, that sort of like, oh, I don't want to look weird. Like I'm looking too close to the food or whatever, which is, no one would care.
Well, they might, because you might be breathing on it. Like, yeah. Why are you putting your face so close to the food? But yes, I get it. So some of the things I wrote down, not using a white cane. That was a big one for me for a long time. Now I would be dangerous, but I used to just bring it folded or in my purse and go sighted guide with my friend. I was thinking about like when you're in a class and, you know, an instructor says something like, and as you can see over here, or you want to do it this way, or some really unhelpful statement. Would you guys ever raise your hand and actually say, can you please tell me what you're pointing at?
Oh, depends on the class for sure. Mm-hmm. If it's a huge lecture hall, like 300 students, probably not. If it's a smaller class, I think at least with upper division classes I've been taking, it's a lot smaller, maybe 20 to 30 people. Mm-hmm. I might feel a lot more comfortable just to ask, or I just wait until the end or break and go to the prof and say, I didn't catch that. Do you mind just explaining it to me again? So
yeah,
it would just depend on the class environment more so for me.
I'd like to say that I would, but I probably wouldn't. Like if I know in class, like the other day, my teacher was like specifically talking to you and he was like, go over there. And then I felt fine saying it in front of the class. But I guess like I wouldn't be the person to bring up that I can't see something mm-hmm. if I'm not already being addressed.
Right. Yeah. I actually just this weekend was at a book club thing and everybody brought something to eat. And to be fair, I wasn't hungry. And in the past, I have asked my friend to help me get food, but I just didn't eat. And it's sometimes it's the whole like buffet, what's there? I don't know what's there. Not necessarily wanting to draw attention to going back to get more. And sometimes it's the not wanting to feel around. Like there were mini eggs on the table in front of me that I could have felt around for, and I just chose not to. So that it's embarrassing to admit because I feel like everyone knows I'm blind. I came in with a white cane. Like, you guys are in a different situation where you can sort of choose people to know or not. It's not as visible, but for me, it's totally visible, and I still do these things. So, yeah.
I feel like I definitely do that too, though. Like, the just choosing like not to eat rather than like getting help for like, oh, can you tell me which pizza is which, or like help mm-hmm. me get it out of the box. Like, I don't know. I like, if it's with people I don't know, sometimes I'll just be like, well, you know, make a bunch of excuses that are actually just, I don't want to do it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've gotten a lot better at that, I'd like to think. But there was like a really defining moment for me when I was, I think, in grade 8, and I went on a trip. Because I was a part of our school's basketball team, and I didn't really know any of the girls on the team other than one who was in my class. And we went out for lunch, and it was just like a fast food chain. I can't even remember. It could have been like Subway or something. And I had never ordered up until that point by myself. Like, it was always my family wanting, like, doing it for me. And I didn't eat that day. I was hungry. I just was too scared to really ask a teammate or even just the person working behind the counter for help. So, you know, that kind of, I came back and I'm like, this is not smart to do. This mm-hmm. could be harmful to me. And why can't I do it? So I really just took the initiative to start ordering myself. It wasn't easy at first, just because, you know, especially in a place where it's like, there's multiple kinds of breads and like, there's everything's laid out. And, you know, sometimes you get pushback of like, it's right there. Like, you know, yeah. sometimes the server can be rude or whatever it is. But I think, yeah, that definitely taught me, like, no, you need to be okay to ask, especially when you need it. Because otherwise the consequences, you're not going to be, and it's fine if you're not hungry, but if you are, you need to get some food in you. So, yes. yeah, that definitely happened. It's happening less now, but definitely in the past, for sure, it was a big thing for me.
I still, to this day, have so much like anxiety around like food courts and that sort of situation where the menu's up on the wall and it's busy and there's people, and like, because I have to use my phone to see the menu, and I'm so worried that people are going to think that I'm taking a picture of them or like something like that, that I feel like I do this like really awkward, like take a picture, step way back, like have my phone. It's not necessary, but I don't know, that whole kind of situation where like, there's just like, so it's such like an uncontrolled environment. There's people everywhere, and it's so hard to like, you know, it's not like a quieter restaurant where you can just say like, oh, sorry, what are these couple things? What are yeah. these? Yeah. Whatever.
Definitely. I remember an incident taking a Greyhound bus from Vancouver to Edmonton or Calgary. I forget, somewhere in Alberta. It's a long bus ride, like 15-hour bus ride. And I was with somebody from Blind Sports, like a volunteer type person that was coming with me. I was going to this sport camp, but I didn't really know him until we met up to take the bus together. So we were sitting together on the bus, and I had to go to the bathroom so bad, but I didn't want to walk to the back of the bus because I didn't know if I'd be able to find my seat when I came back. And I was too embarrassed to ask him, this person connected to Blind Sports, like a blindness organization, but also it was more the other people on the bus. Like, what if I accidentally sat down in the wrong seat, or, you know, had to ask one of the other passengers, or what if he didn't notice that I was coming back down the aisle? I didn't go to the bathroom the entire journey. So yeah, sometimes I was young, I was like 16 or something, but you know, that's quite extreme.
I was at a concert with like a friend, and then like some people that I didn't know like that well, like I'd only kind of just met them, and I had to like, I wanted to go to the washroom, but I was like so nervous about like finding the seats again, mm-hmm. going back. And I almost didn't ask, because I was like, you know, like you're a grown adult, like asking someone to go to the washroom with you. But it was yeah. totally yes. fine. Like, yeah. I was like, yeah, sorry, I can't see where the seats are. And she's like, that's fine, let's go. And it was fine. But yeah. that was just like, I was so worried about like looking like a little kid, which I didn't at all. Mm-hmm. You know,
I know.
I don't think, at least.
I was wondering about like trying, if you have to hold something close to your face to read, have you guys just chosen not to read the thing in order to not look like you have to hold it so close?
I don't know. That's like, I feel like one of the few things that hasn't really bothered me. I don't know why. There's no good reason for it. Just like, I guess because it's such a big part of my life, it's not really something that I can like choose not to do, because I have to hold my phone like that. I have to hold like any print, even if it's huge. So I don't know. I guess
that's... Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. No, I kind of agree with Acacia. I don't think I notice it until I see myself in the mirror doing it. And I'm like, oh, wow, I actually do hold my phone really close, because it doesn't look close to me.
Yeah,
if that
right.
makes sense. Uh-huh. So, and then I like get a glimpse of myself holding it like an inch away from my face. And I'm like, that's how people see me. Interesting. But no, yeah, I don't think it's something that bothers me. I think it is just another thing that people would notice and I guess identify me as having low vision with. But yeah, I don't think I've done it too much. I have had instances where a friend or a family member who I'm not close with has just put my hand down while I'm reading something, and they're like, I'll do it for you. So I think it's more so that people have maybe felt that it's grabbing attention and don't mm-hmm. like that or aren't used to it. So that's why maybe that was their response. And I kind of just tell them, like, it's okay, or why does that matter? I'm doing it, you know. If you want, sometimes you get through the interaction, I'll just be like, okay, but then I have a conversation with them saying like, this is how I read things, if it's uncomfortable for you, I'm sorry, but I need to do that.
Yeah.
Or we can talk about it more, but you know, like I've had a couple of those instances and it's like a little bit jarring and uncomfortable and in the moment, but then, you know, we'll talk about it and it'll be fine. So it's nothing that was long lasting and it doesn't happen much anymore. So
I remember years ago, I was in a pub with a friend who was also visually impaired, but could see better than me. And I have like a little bit of peripheral vision. I probably had would have had more vision back then, but I was holding something up and looking at it sideways and like sort of to the side, you know, sideways. And he said, that looks really weird when you do that. And I was like, well, that's the only way I can see it. And I'm just looking at it I don't know what I was looking at, to see the color of my drink or something like that. And he made that comment, which I have to say, it hasn't stopped me from, you know, it's not like I do that all the time, but occasionally if I really want to try to see something, that's the only way I'm going to do it. So who cares if you don't like the way it looks? But it was weird that it came from him. He was the type of he had to hold things close to his face in order to read them. So maybe he was self-conscious about that. I don't know, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. I've had so many customers be like so rude to me when I'm like squinting at the cash register, almost like accusatory, like you need glasses. And I'm like, no, I'm just visually impaired. But I'm like, that's the only time I'm like, why is this situation make it okay to be rude to someone?
Yeah.
Like,
and why do people have a problem with it? Like, it's, you know, if you were quoting them the wrong price or giving them back the wrong money or something like that, maybe they could be worried, but
I'm not.
I feel like people in retail just get the worst kind of people. They're like
that's
impatient.
True.
They're just going to find anything to yell at you. So I'm very sorry, Keisha.
How about not going somewhere that you've never been before, in case you're, you know, with the fear that you're going to have to kind of ask somebody for help, or maybe like, you know, I've definitely been in a situation where I've opened the wrong door to a store and it's not the right, you know, it's not the right door, that kind of thing. Does that get in the way for you guys?
I think, yeah, if I'm alone, definitely. It's weird because I think I get a confidence boost when I'm with someone else who's blind. So when with a blind friend, you know, you're just like, yeah, no, I got you. Let's go. We're going to do this. And if they're like, oh, maybe not. And I'm like, no, we're going to do it. So that helps. Like when I was, sometimes me and my friend Jill, who everyone has heard of before, we go to lunch at a Sofiu because we both go there. And sometimes finding the door of the restaurant that's there is a little bit tricky for me. But now that I know that Jill's there and I'm like, yeah, like, no, we're going to find it. It's okay. We're going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Versus I think if I'm alone, I don't even go to that restaurant on my own. So it's like, you know, I think about it, but then I'm like, it's going to be a hassle to try and find it or to get in or get someone's attention. So let's leave it. So same with kind of grocery shopping. If I need to go with someone, it's much easier for me to explore. Versus if I need to get something by myself, even if I'm familiar with it, but they've changed the layout of something and I've heard that they've done that, like our local Costco has changed the layout of the store so many times, I get disoriented pretty quickly. And it's like, generally I can figure out where the bakery would be or where the fruits would be or whatever. But it's like, it's already such a crowded store. Going there by myself would just feel so daunting. And I feel like it's going to take so much more time than it needs to, that I would just avoid it rather than having someone who maybe is sighted and can come with me, and we'll get it done so much quicker.
That's so interesting. And so, like, I can so relate to in a group or even with one other person who's blind. I don't have any of that discomfort because I don't know, like, I guess it's, you don't have to face it alone. If you do get a rude comment or an inappropriate question or just an embarrassing thing happens, you're going to laugh about it together. Like, it just becomes more funny than embarrassing. I don't know, but it's so much easier in a group.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny for me because I feel like it's like, if I have my cane with me and I get locked, not like lost, but I like walk through the wrong door or whatever, I feel okay about it. But if I don't have my cane with me, then I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing because like,
yeah, they don't know why.
They don't just know think why. You're dumb. And yet I feel awkward when I have my cane and I'm like, why are you doing this to yourself?
I know. It's funny because I feel a little bit like if I'm going to enter a coffee shop that I've never been to, I don't have a clue. Like, I just have to listen and try to figure it out as quickly as possible. And I don't want to stand there too long trying to work it out. So let's say I'm walking, you know, towards the sound of the counter, but I don't realize there's a bunch of tables in between. And now I start bumping into them all. So I have this kind of like, it's not so much that I'm looking blind, it's that I'm a bad example of blindness that gets in the way, where I'm like, oh no, all these people are seeing me blind my way through here, bumbling and bumping into things. And that's just going to make them think blind people are really clumsy or, you know, bumbly. So that's the part that I have an issue with.
I definitely like there are certain stores in the mall that I'm like, I would shop there, but it's just like too stressful for me. Like when there's like stuff up on the walls and there's stuff everywhere and it's not like relatively organized, I just like, I can't do it when I'm by myself, at least. Or like about like, I definitely get like the not wanting to stand there too long. Like I know there was, I forget what it was, but there was some like start of year event. It was like a nighttime thing at my university last fall. And like, I was there late and it took me forever to find it, first of all. And I think I must have like walked past the room it was in like maybe 4 or 5 times. And then I finally found it and I like kind of like looked in and everyone was already seated at tables. And there wasn't like a clear, like, this is what's going on, this is like who to go talk to or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like, it was just like something like really casual. Like it was like a board games night or something. But I was just like, okay, now I've been standing here too long. It's really awkward. I don't know where to go. I don't know who to talk to. I don't want to like, I can't really insert myself. I can't see if people are like waving me over. And I think I just left. So it's like, you know, whatever. Just like not a big deal, but it's just sort of like,
it's kind of, yeah. I mean, you went to the effort to show up and then. I feel like I've done something similar. I can't think right now, but, and then you kind of feel like, oh, like, why didn't I just ask? But then also I know why I didn't.
Yeah. It's quite, I think the biggest one that I encounter is restaurants for sure. Especially if I haven't been there. It's a bit easier now because a lot of the menus are online, but you know, it's, going through some of the menus, I don't mind having the server do it, but it just, I feel bad because I'm like, oh, that's not really their job and they're taking so long and I feel bad. Or whatever it may be, I'm taking too long to decide if I'm doing it at the restaurant. I don't want to like take too much time.
Mm-hmm.
So if I always try to ask the name of the restaurant beforehand so I can look it up and kind of get an idea of what I would want, and then just have 2 or 3 options in my head and then I'll go with what I'm feeling for that day. A lot of preparation, but I've heard that sighted people do this as well. So I don't think it's just a me thing.
Right.
I hope not. Yeah. So I think that's the most one I kind of experienced the most, but I definitely been there with, like you said, Acacia, when it's a very casual event and everyone's like, oh yeah, just show up and we'll figure it out there. And I'm like, no, can I know? Because not knowing is like, you know, I need to know who's going to be there. Where can I generally be? Like, you know, who can I expect? Someone going to be there to maybe like help me out a bit? Do I need to bring my cane? Like just all these things. It's just hard for me to just go with the flow, especially if it's so unknown to me.
Hi there, listeners. I just wanted to interrupt to tell you how much we appreciate you, but we really want to get our message out there to as many people as possible. So if you are enjoying this podcast, please help us by sharing, liking, subscribing, leave us a rating. And we are so grateful to you for listening each week. And now back to this episode. So let's talk about why we do these things. Why are we trying so hard to, I don't know, not look blind? Or, well, that's really what it is. We're talking about masking. So what do you think?
I think it's just, there's a lot behind it. I think a lot of it for me is not wanting to bring the attention, because I just don't know if how they're going to react. And I feel like I'm generally pretty well prepared if someone is going to maybe react in a negative way. I think I can handle that situation quite well. But I think I just want to avoid having a negative interaction if I can. Mm-hmm. And to me, the easiest way and the part that I can control is masking, really.
Yeah.
Really just blending in. I think that's just a really human thing to want to do, to like blend in with everyone, because it's easier, it's simple.
I feel like it's like part of it for me is not wanting to create more work for people or have people think that they're going to have more work created for them, I guess. Yeah. Like, yes. I don't want people to not invite me to things because they think that it's going to be a lot of work.
That's such a good point about, you know, if you can't do one thing, or if they notice you not able to do one thing, are they going to assume you can't do anything? So, yeah, that's something I hadn't even thought about. I think for me, it is the wanting to be accepted or included, for sure. And to avoid embarrassment. I think it's just embarrassing. Like, bumbling my way through the coffee shop is kind of embarrassing. I want to be seen as competent, capable. And sometimes if it's an environment that is unfamiliar, I don't look that way, right? I don't look as capable as I am. Of course I don't, because I can't see and I'm trying to figure it out, which is totally fair. So it's sort of this trade-off of like, do I want to expand my world? Do I want to go where I want to go, even though I'm going to have to bumble a little bit? Or do I want to just look perfect all the time and capable, but then have a smaller options of where I can go?
Yeah, I think the two things, one kind of just jumped in now too, is that like Acacia was saying, autonomy is a big one, because sometimes you don't get to choose how the world treats you. And for me, it is like, I am making a choice to do this, and it's in my, like, I'm the decision maker here. And at the end of the day, like, yes, some of them are like, it would have been easier if I had just disclosed or whatever, but with someone, you know, putting your hand down for you when you're doing something, or taking like something out of your hands because they think you can't do it, or making you sit somewhere else because they don't think you can be a part of this thing, is really hard. And mm-hmm. you miss out on some experiences that you really wanted to take part in. And advocating for yourself, especially depending on what kind of point in your blindness that you're in, is not always easy. Mm-hmm. So kind of just going through it in the moment and figuring it out as you go could just be the easier option, just because you're not dealing with so much at once. And yes, the second thing was kind of people viewing blindness through you, being like the ambassador for blindness, and people assuming that this is how you are. So it's like, I don't want people to know I'm blind, because I don't want to think all blind people are going to be struggling. And right. Oh yeah, we meet their expectations of like, yeah, of course they need help. Like, yes. This is what's the expectation. And it's like, I don't want to do that. So if it's just easier to not disclose and not show it, and they don't have that negative perception of blindness, or didn't reinforce it in that situation.
Yes.
I sometimes just take it and I'm like, okay, at least I didn't make a negative impact on the blind community. I know, I think it's pretty extreme to think that, but like, it feels like that sometimes, mm-hmm. because they generalize so much and the assumption is there, and you just don't want to meet that and like reinforce that.
Totally. I totally get that. I feel that way a lot. Like, I'm representing for the whole population.
I know, last fall I was walking with my cane and I straight up walked into a tree and I was like, but there were so many people watching me. I was just like, what have I done? I'm so sorry to the blind community.
I remember Cassie just said that in one of our meetings. And she's like, I'm so sorry, guys. I feel like I did some damage. And I'm like,
I'm like, this wasn't a blind thing. This was a me distracted in my own world kind of thing.
You turn around, it's like, it's not because I'm blind. It's because I was not paying attention. Guys.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Are you consciously aware that you're masking when you're masking? Do you know? Are you making a conscious decision to hide in that moment or not hide?
Not always. For some, it's quite evident, especially like I said, the social gatherings. But I didn't even realize I was doing it with the stares on my commute until I sat down on the train. I'm like, I know exactly how many stares are on my route now because I just wanted to avoid looking blind.
Yes.
And I don't fumble and I don't hold up the foot traffic that's going on there. So it was like, that was a pretty big realization. I do that quite a bit. I noticed that. I'm like, does everyone count the steps in their head? I don't know if that's a normal thing to do. It's just something I guess I've learned. Maybe I did it once and I noticed that that helps. That mm-hmm. makes me fumble less, and that kind of just adds, you know, like, okay, great. I don't need to do this anymore. So sometimes I think it is unconscious, but I would say maybe like 80% of the time, it's something I'm aware that I'm doing.
I totally do the counting steps thing too. And I even do it in my house, like, which I think is ridiculous. But I think if I want to run up or down the stairs, I like that I can do that. And I'm counting. I'm like, I know there's 7 stairs on each landing, whatever, you know, and certain SkyTrain stations too. It's so that I can go down quicker. Mm-hmm. And boy, don't I look cool that I can do that. But I never thought of that as masking. That's so interesting. I just thought, oh, that's just something, you know, that I do. But yeah, it is to look more competent.
Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes I catch myself like, I'll like pretend to read a sign that I can't even read just so I have somewhere to look, or like stuff like that. Like,
yes,
I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a 50-50 thing. Like sometimes it's conscious. Sometimes it's like, oh, what are you doing right now?
I saw this thing where someone, a content creator, I believe, who has ADHD was talking about masking. And to some people, it's a point of pride. Like, people don't even know I have this. Like, look at me. I'm doing it so well. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you guys have ever felt like? I kind of masked so well that no one here knows that I'm blind. And that's like, I guess, a way reinforcing that you need to keep doing it.
I think when people say things like, wow, you don't look blind, or I never would have known, or you can't tell at all. Like, I think there is a part of me that takes that as a compliment, like, oh, I'm doing this well. I'm faking this well. Like, I don't look blind, whatever that means. Like, yeah, I think there is some pride in that, sadly.
Yeah, I think there's like some part of me that gets like little like, oh, good for you. Like when I've like known people for a while and then I tell them that like, for whatever reason it comes up, I'm like, yeah, I can see about 25% of what you can see with my contacts in. And they're like, what? Which is not something that I should be like proud of, that they're surprised by that, but it's something I'm kind of like, oh, good for you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because in a way it was successful why we do it, but then it also feels like, because essentially I think what those compliments are boiling down to is like, oh, you look normal. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's something that I think all of us would like to hear. But it's like a double-edged sword where it feels good because, yes, it was kind of intended. But also it's like, why do I need to do this? If only society was really accepting and things were made for everyone, it wouldn't be an issue. So it's kind of a weird thing that, like, I noticed that sometimes can happen.
And then when you don't do a good job of masking, when it is obvious, then what does that mean? Is it a bad thing then when I do look like I can't see, or I am feeling around for something or needing to ask for, you know, like it kind of paints sort of what does, you know, what's the other side then?
Yeah, I think like it goes into that you're playing into the assumptions that blind people aren't very capable and you're kind of presenting it and you're giving them the opportunity to see like, oh yeah, it's what's expected, even though it's not.
Yeah. I was just curious, if you think over kind of the last week, can you think of some ways that you masked? Because I sat down to think about it and there was the not eating at the book club. Something I do every single time I get on the SkyTrain is I don't sit. I just stand in the doorway. If I'm by myself, I don't bother looking for a seat because I might, you know, accidentally touch somebody or not be able to find one or whatever. So I just stand and lean kind of in the doorway, which is, I don't care. Like, it's fine, but it is something that I do. It doesn't really bother me that I do that. I feel like I get fresh air when the door opens. I'm like right there when I get to my station, but it is definitely something I do all the time. I was thinking about, I go to spin class and, you know, I go with a friend. I always go with a friend because I have a few neighbors that go and I can get a ride with them, which is great. And I could ask if I'm not clear on the instructions. Sometimes the instructor's like, okay, now everybody, I want you to do this, or, you know, pay attention to your top number and you want to try to double it. And I always think I could ask one of my friends, can you tell me what my number is? And then I could ask them to tell me after the drill to see if I doubled it or whatever. But I never do. I never like interrupt their workout to ask them for more directions. What about you guys? Have you?
For sure, a few that I recognized. One was that big social gathering. This was on Sunday. So I just stuck with my brother and made him get my food. Very thankful he did. But also it did help. They had servers who were coming around, so I got a little bit more comfortable with asking what was what. I noticed initially I just took it without asking and I didn't know what it was. And I asked afterwards what it was and my brother was like, why don't you just ask? And I'm like, that's a good idea. So I just started asking what the food was so I knew what I was actually getting and, you know, having choice. Another one was like Sean said, you said on SkyTrain, I definitely do, instead of just looking for a seat, I can see relatively which ones are empty, but I feel like I need to walk around a bit and I just don't want to risk like kind of like tripping over someone's bag or something. Yeah. So I just stand next to the doors as well.
Yep.
Another one is I noticed I've also went, especially when the bus is quite crowded, I avoid using my phone. Because I do need to kind of hold it with one hand and use VoiceOver or Zoom with the other. So this is a bit more of a safety thing probably just because I want to be holding on to the railing. But I would like stop my music and like kind of just settle for like listening to a song I don't like because I don't want to take it out and have to like hold it really close to me and have kind of maybe people looking at me. So I've done that. And another one is shopping. So if I'm in a store for whatever reason, and someone's looking for something, what I'll do is I will just go and look around at things without seeing what it is. I can't read the sizes. I don't even know what I'm looking at, but I'll look like I'm shopping when I'm not.
Yes.
I will just like browse through and be like, oh, this is nice, and pick it out. And it's like, and I find out I'm in the men's section. I'm not even in the right section. I'm like, right, okay. So yeah, I've done that for sure. I did this like again last weekend. So it's happened, and you know, I've just resided to like sitting down and being like, I'll just wait because I got nothing else to do here. So yeah, it's, you notice it, I guess, when you look back and you're like, oh, I've done this quite a bit actually, more than I realize.
I've totally done the shopping one too. Just, I guess when you're waiting for someone, if they're in the change room or whatever, instead of just standing there, I just pretend that I know what I'm doing, wander around the store, feel things.
Yeah. Well, I've also been told like it's rude to touch everything. So I just don't. And I'm like, I look and I'm like, I can't see anything, but I'm just going to pretend like I really like the sweater. And like, this is such a, well, look at this sweater, guys. It's so great. So I do that. And it's like, I'm genuinely not getting anything from this, but I kind of just want to blend in. And I guess I got to do that. So,
yeah. What about you, Acacia? What are some things you've done over the last week?
I feel like definitely, excuse me, similar to the SkyTrain thing. Like sometimes when I get on the bus, like I'll sit down if I can see a seat, but I won't go like all the way back looking for a seat. Cause like, I feel like I have a hard time seeing like, maybe there's one seat in between a bunch of people. Maybe there's a couple seats. I don't really know. So I'll just hold on to the pole the whole time.
Yeah.
Another thing is like at the cafeteria kind of meal place at my school, they have like most of their stuff is the same, but then there's like the soups and like the Carvery stuff changes, which is like, you know, like maybe it's lasagna or pierogies or whatever, but they write the names of the specials in like the swirliest handwriting, and like while it looks very pretty, I just can't see it at all. And there's people there. I could ask them what it says, but I just don't. And then like, I can't really go see the board when there's a big line. So sometimes I just kind of like give up and like, I don't usually get that food anyway, but I'm like, I probably would more if I actually read
knew
this.
What it was.
yes. And then I guess this was a couple weeks ago, but it's just like, I was at a party and like, I was just leaving and there was like, you know, the huge, huge pile of coats and shoes and I couldn't find my umbrella. And I could have asked someone to help me find it. Like, I knew several people there. And there was also just a whole bunch of people around who were, like, you know, nice people. Would have helped me find my umbrella. But I just felt, like, way too awkward and embarrassed to ask someone to help me find my umbrella. So I just, like, left without it. And, yeah, it's okay. I mean, it was, like, a, you know, $8 umbrella. But, you know, I didn't need to do that. I could have asked for help.
I was curious also, are there places where you don't ever mask? And I mean, I think in a group of other blind people, I definitely feel really comfortable. And we kind of talked about power of being in a group. Are there other situations where you guys find that you never need to do this?
Yeah, I think when I'm with people I'm really comfortable with, I don't. I was like my best friend. I don't think I've masked with her. It's funny because I actually did the first time we met. We talk about that where we were like in the library and I grabbed a book and it was like upside down just because I wanted to look like I could read. And that was like one of my first interactions with her. So I did. But like now, you know, if we go out, you know, we do have our go-to spots and we like wherever we're going, I feel much more comfortable just asking the person, asking her, just kind of navigating through it without needing to mask. So like take my cane, everything's good. It's very normal to me now. Yeah. So I think it's familiarity. Anytime familiarity is there, whether it's with a person or with an environment, that's when I don't mask.
Yeah, I feel like with, you know, with people I know, with family or friends or whatever. And also like, it's weird because by the end of high school, I just felt like, at the start of high school, my first couple years, I was probably like pretty doing that a lot in class. But by the end of it, I was just like, either people know me and they don't care, or they don't know me and they don't care. Like, it's not like there's a bunch of new people that I'm going to be like meeting or like new situations. Like, it's all just the same thing. So, you know, why would I make life harder for myself for no reason? So yeah. Like, that was definitely a situation where I was just like, yeah, I'm cool. I was even like at one point when I was learning to use my cane, I was like with my O&M instructor and we were just like practicing walking down the halls at my high school. And I was like, yeah, this is fine. I really don't feel awkward about this at all. And, you know,
it's kind of, I was thinking about it. It's kind of a test for me of if I, cause yeah, I do have certain friends and family that I feel comfortable enough that I don't have to do any of this stuff. I can ask for what I need. I can feel around for things, you know, And then there are people that I don't feel comfortable. So that's a bit of an indication of like, why don't I feel comfortable around this person? You know, if you find yourself masking around certain people, yeah, it sort of cues you that, okay, am I worried that they wouldn't accept me? Like, what is going on for me in this situation? It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think also we talked about this in a previous episode, but when you're the most cited out of the group of blind people or the other friends, I think for me, feeling like I am responsible helps a bit in not worrying. It's like, yeah, okay, like, you know, I am capable of guiding us to this table or guiding us to this place. So it's okay if I fumble, or it's okay if that, because the end goal is larger. The goal is to get both of us there safely. And I will make sure that I'm asking for help if I need to, because I have someone else there with me. So I think like that sense of responsibility takes over a lot more than any sort of anxiety or anything I would have in that situation.
That's really interesting. When I started traveling with my son when he was little, that sort of same thing happened where I was like, okay, I might not eat because I don't want to ask for the information, but I am not going to allow him to not eat. Or if I need to go to the bathroom, I can just hold it. But if he needs to go to the bathroom, I'm going to have to ask. We're going to have to figure it out. I'm going to have to find, you know, what we need. And yeah, so he kind of, and even sitting on the SkyTrain, like with him, we had to sit. I wasn't going to make my 2-year-old stand in the doorway with me. That would not be good parenting. So we had to figure it out. And, you know, once he got old enough, he could help find the empty seat. That was helpful. But in those early times, yeah, it was up to me. And I was like, well, I got to put my pride aside here and do this for him. So, yeah. Is this something you would like to stop doing? Does it bother you? Like, it's interesting, like putting a microscope on it in this conversation. We're really kind of honing in on the fact that we do this. I kind of feel like I would like to do this less, although I do understand why I do it, and, you know, to be accepted, to be seen as competent, like all those things. But I also kind of wish I didn't care so much about that and that I could just be. But how do you guys feel?
I agree for sure. I think I'd like to do it less. It has become less, but like I came up with like 3 examples in the last week. So,
right.
So yeah. Yeah, I think, and there are days where I'm like, I feel like I'm not worried at all. I don't feel any anxiety. Like, yeah, I can totally ask and this is not an issue. But there are some days that just whatever the reason may be, I'm feeling a lot less confident. I'm feeling a lot less. It's just feels like a lot more of, I don't want to say a hassle, but it feels like it's a lot more effort to be put forward. And I just don't feel like doing that. And I think that in certain situations, especially in relation to people who are older, maybe seniors or different cultures, I especially don't know how they're going to react. And the reaction won't just affect me. It would affect friends or family that are also with me. Like I said, in those social gatherings. I would love to just walk in with my cane and it be peachy and like it's nothing and no one is noticing or it's totally fine. But I do know that in those situations, reactions are going to be quite amplified and it's not just going to be directed towards me. So I think in those situations, I'm not sure necessarily how to handle it or how to prepare someone else to deal with that when they don't receive the brunt of it all the time like I do.
Yeah, right.
So in those situations, I think I just don't know if I would be. I would love to. But I think in more in my everyday life, when I'm shopping, I can definitely just not go to the men's section and just sit down. I don't need to do that. I can order food independently. You know, I don't need to put so much stress on this. So I think in some elements, it may unfortunately stay there. But in other elements of my life, I could definitely consciously reduce it and make the effort to just, you know, deal with it. And it's okay because it's my comfort over other people is how I want to start thinking about it.
I mean, I think just like looking back on situations where I have like outright been like, yeah, I'm visually impaired, or I haven't, it almost always works out better in the long run when I'm just like straight about it and just like, you know, ask for help if I need it. And, you know, and it's funny that, like, I keep telling myself, like, oh, no, it'll turn out better this way. But it won't in the long run. So I'd like to get better at not masking it so much. Like, I feel like there, you know, there is the odd situation where it just makes life easier and it's not a big deal. But for the most part, I'd like to definitely like to get better at that.
Any idea how we do that? It's tough, right? It's like, yeah. You can have all the intentions of wanting to just not care. But yeah, I mean, there is a lot of, we do kind of have to tolerate a lot of other people's opinions and comments and reactions, and that's the reality. So it's easy to be like, I just want to care less and not worry about it. But yeah, some days you do care and you don't want to deal with it. So I don't know. I don't have any advice for how to do that, but I do want to try maybe to relax about it a bit more and just, cause yeah, I remember the not wanting to use a cane. For so many years, I did not want to use my cane and I didn't use it hardly ever. And then when I started to use it, it just, life was so much easier. So that was a hurdle I got over. And maybe this is the same. Like, maybe if I just stopped caring so much and just did what I wanted to do and asked for what I needed when I need it, maybe I would find the same thing. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I feel like it's just, I see it as a very a human trait. I feel like I try to remind myself that it's not just us. A lot of people feel this for like a lot of different elements in their life. So I don't know if it would ever just completely go away, because I feel like we just innately value people's perceptions of us. And that's just kind of, unfortunately, like evolutionary kind of how we work. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, for sure. I don't have any specific advice, but what I've noticed is that the more I put myself in new situations, I find the anxiety subsiding a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with taking someone or something that is a comfort for you and using that as a tether to like slowly kind of go into these situations. It is helpful, I find, like if you do feel more comfortable taking a friend somewhere, just having them, you know, maybe not sit at the same table as you if they're comfortable with it. It's kind of weird though, but just asking like, hey, do you mind, or you stand at the outside of the store, I'm going to go in and I'm going to order myself today. Is something like that, maybe just taking small steps can help lead you to being more comfortable with this and then eventually kind of being able to do it independently. But it's a long process, and hopefully with age it might help a little bit if I find myself just caring a little bit less, which is a bit refreshing. And I find myself like feeling more confident to try new things. But like I said, it's always going to be there. And the best you can do is kind of make slow progress on it, because progress is progress no matter how much you make.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think just like, it sounds so like making yourself do things, not like, you know, like you don't have to like go take huge steps or whatever, but like, you know, like I was at the mall the other day because I just had to like run a bunch of errands. So I wasn't with people. And normally I just like avoid eating alone at all costs, because I'm like, I don't know what I look like. I don't know whatever. And I just like, I made myself eat alone. And it was like, it was definitely an awkward process. Like I lined up in the totally wrong place to order food and stuff, but then it was fine. And like, you know, you feel so much better after you do it. So just like take those little steps to like prove to yourself that like, you know, the world didn't end. Might have been kind of awkward, but then it was fine, you know?
So true. So true. Yeah. Push yourself. And then when you do the thing that was really scary, it feels, you're so proud of yourself for doing it, because usually it does turn out eventually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the more times you do it, the easier it gets, for sure. Thank you so much, both of you, for being here for this conversation. I think this is really important. I'm sure that there are a lot of people who are visually impaired who've been listening who can relate to what we're talking about, and maybe some who aren't, who learned something. So thank you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. This was a great conversation.
Thank you.
And thank you to all of you for listening, and I hope that you will join us again next time.
This podcast has been brought to you by Blind Beginnings, an organization based in Vancouver, Canada, that supports children and youth who are blind or partially sighted, along with their families. Music for this podcast is composed by Sean Bishop and Clement Chow. Production and audio editing by Rob Minot. For more information about Blind Beginnings and the work it does to support children and youth who are blind and partially sighted, along with their families, visit us on the web at www.blindbeginnings.ca, and also remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next time.